Sunlight crests the Earth's surface. As rays of light shoot up from the continents, the planet spins into view with a word across it. Universal. A web address appears. www.universalstudios.com. Sunlight crests the Earth's surface as it rotates in the Milky Way. Giant gold letters revolve around the planet, spelling Universal. As the Americas swivel by on the face of the blue globe, more words appear below. An MCA company. Imagine Entertainment presents a Brian Grazer production. A James Foley film. Fear. The word fear appears within a black strip on a red screen. A bird's eye view flying over houses and apartment blocks. Mark Wahlberg, Reese Witherspoon, William Peterson. The suburbs give way to the towering skyscrapers of Seattle. Alyssa Milano, Amy Brenneman. Tracy Frame, Jason Christopher, Jed Reese, Gary John Riley, Todd Caldecott, David Fredericks, Christopher Gray. Just outside the city, a beautiful house is situated on the edge of a lake. Inside, a blonde teenager, Nicole Walker, is having a shower. Nicole turns the shower off. Her father, Steve, is out running through the woods. Casting by Deborah Zane, CSA. Costumes designed by Kirsten Everberg. Music supervision by Danny Bramson. Music by Carter Burwell. Steve runs up to some security gates. Larry the guard waves.
Walker, Larry.
Steve turns and runs back through the trees. Edited by David Brenner. Production design by Alex McDowell. Director of Photography, Thomas Kloss. Executive Producer, Karen Kahala. Written by Christopher Crowe. Produced by Brian Grazer and Rick Kidney. Directed by James Foley. As Steve arrives back at the house, he's met by an Alsatian dog.
I've eaten meaner dogs than you for breakfast, you wimp.
Later, Steve is joined by his wife, Laura.
Did you get the tickets yesterday?
Huh?
The pier. James Taylor.
Oh, shit. I'll have Eddie get them today.
Nicole's appeared wearing a short summer dress.
What?
Nothing.
That's sad. You're looking at me like you didn't know who I was or something.
No, I was just thinking that maybe you'd like Laura to take you to buy some new clothes.
What she's got on is brand new.
This is new?
Yeah, why? What's wrong with it?
It looks like something you wore when you were 12.
Yeah, so?
Look, all I'm saying is that it's... What, I'm not allowed to have an opinion?
No, Dad, you're allowed to do whatever you want to do. I'm the one who has to ask permission to breathe. Can I go to school now, Father?
Have a nice day, Nicole.
She heads off.
Does that count as quality time?
A boy, Toby, blows a dog whistle and the Alsatian comes in.
Good boy, Kaiser.
Can I go you too, sweetheart?
Hey, congratulations. I heard you won your game last night.
Spanked him.
I bet that made your dad happy, huh?
He doesn't really watch the games. He's too busy trying to pick up chicks.
Steve and Laura exchange an awkward look.
I gotta go.
Could you drop me off at school? The Mustang's way cooler than Mom's car. Please, Dad.
Okay, hurry up. Get your stuff.
All right.
Toby runs off. Steve looks at Laura and shrugs.
He called me Dad.
He gives her a kiss. Seattle's iconic Space Needle. Steve arrives for work.
Morning, Eddie.
Mm-hmm. The Swigart Project. Went to the bad guys last night.
You shit.
Wish I were. We're on thin ice here, pal. Vancouver or bust.
Well, show me the drafts we got. I'll create the presentation myself.
That's what I wanted to hear.
We shouldn't even be doing this. We're just gonna have to turn around and come back the second we get there.
Yes, but we can say we were there. You have to factor in the residual coolness.
Sorry. Mr. Kahila decided he had to stare at my boobs for 10 minutes before he'd give me an extension.
Nicole and her friends.
We should just get something to go, guys.
Nicole, chill. What do you want to remember 5 years from now? Being on time for English Lit or having a light?
Well, let me see. English Lit? Light. English Lit.
Shut up, Gary.
Nicole and her two friends, Gary and Margot, make their way into a trendy restaurant where cool kids are hanging out. The place is packed and Gary leads the way through the throng. When they get to the counter, Nicole looks around and sees some grungy-looking guys playing pool over on a raised section towards the back. Margot likes the look of them, too.
Ooh la la.
Yes, smoked turkey and good on a roll.
To go.
Oh! Nicole sees Margot staring at the guys.
God, stop being so obvious. What do you want to eat?
Just some chocolate cake, please.
To go.
Let's go.
I'm gonna miss you out of here, buddy. Better off, David.
Nicole watches as one of the grungy guys is joined by a cool-looking, muscular young man wearing a tight-fitting black shirt. He chalks his pool cue and glances over at her. Nicole smiles. The guy takes his shot.
Winning is a good thing, man.
The guy gives Nicole a second look. Margot takes a flyer from a guy.
In Occidental?
I'm there.
Where's that? Down by the docks?
Yeah. So?
Better bring your Uzi.
That's 875.
I got it.
Come with me.
I can. I've got a family outing. James Taylor at the pier.
Yikes. Isn't he bald?
Problem. Gotta go, guys. Margo, come on.
All right.
Nicole sees the handsome guy get one of the flyers. He shows it to his grungy friend and they bump knuckles. He looks over at Nicole again, and she gives him a smile before going. Later, Nicole and Margot look at a men's magazine.
God, I bet it'd be a rush.
You wouldn't really do it.
Why not? I mean, who wouldn't want millions of guys fantasizing about them? It's power.
It's nuts.
What, it doesn't feel good to be wanted? Hey, what about Jason Fuller? He wants you bad.
He doesn't want me. He just... I don't really know what he wants. Every time I go out with him, I kind of feel like I should be paid for babysitting.
Come with me tonight. There's sure to be something going on down there.
I told you I gotta do this family thing.
Okay, I'm leaving now, you guys. There's food in the fridge and money on the counter, and if you need to reach me, I'll be at the St. Francis under Vince's name, okay?
Okay, Mom.
Be good. Love you.
Who's Vince? Some old coot in San Francisco with a pup belly and a lot of dough. He promised her a Mercedes, which means I get the rabbit. Don't you just love life?
Nicole, your father's here to pick you up.
Oh, yeah. Life's just great.
In the car.
Dad?
Daughter.
Is it absolutely mandatory that I see James Taylor again?
When did you ever see a James Taylor concert?
You, me, Mom, summer of 85. Does that ring any bells?
85? You'd have been...
six.
Oh, come on, that doesn't count. I'm surprised you even remember it.
I don't think there's a thing that's ever happened, or not happened for that matter, that I don't remember. You're the one who blocks out the past.
Nicole, I don't block out anything. It just takes longer to... sort through 40 years of data than it does 16.
Maybe you ought to consider upgrading to a faster chip.
She smiles.
You know, sometimes you're pretty funny.
I have my moments.
So look, it'll be fun tonight. You, me, Laura, Toby, old memories, new adventures. It'll be like real life. Okay, my little sugar plum.
Okay, my little nectarine.
At home.
Hey, Laura.
Hey.
there's a fruit in the refrigerator. Why don't you get that out?
Steve gives Laura a kiss.
Get out of here.
All right, I gotta change and jump in the shower.
Call Eddie first. He was looking for you.
Okay. Come on, not even a nice schmoozy conference call, please.
Steve's on the phone. He frowns.
All right. What choice do I have? I'll see you at the airport.
He hangs up and looks troubled.
And she's got this little chain that she hooks through it and wraps around her waist. What do you think Dad would do if I got
You know exactly what he would do.
Over to the brain.
Toby.
Steve returns.
What?
I can't go to the concert. I gotta go to Vancouver.
Now?
I have to meet the client for dinner in 3 hours.
Oh, Jesus, Stephen. We've been planning this for weeks. The whole thing was your idea.
I mean, nobody wanted to go more than me. I mean, what would you like me to do about it?
Well, you could keep your word to your family is what you could do.
Oh, yeah, and then we could just all starve to death.
Oh, spare me the melodrama. Nobody's starving.
You were right, Dad. It's just like real life.
He punches a cupboard. Toby jumps. In her room, Nicole picks up a phone and dials a number.
Margot. King and Occidental, I'm with you.
King and Occidental turns out to be a rave in a disused warehouse. A DJ spins the decks and kids dance under pulsing lights in the packed venue. Margot and Nicole make their way through the heaving throng of bodies. Nicole smiles as she takes in the sights. She and Margot pass a couple of boys heavy petting. Margot spots the grungy guy from the restaurant strutting his stuff on the dance floor. Smiling, Margot goes over to the guy who smokes a cigar as he dances. Nicole watches as Margot starts dancing with him. Nicole stands beside a pillar and takes in all the sights. As she does so, the good-looking guy from the restaurant appears around the side of the pillar.
Dancing.
I know.
She smiles a little awkwardly and looks down. He regards her steadily. She looks back at him.
You aren't either.
He nods.
How come?
How come what?
How come you're not dancing?
Well, because nobody's asking.
She mouths, oh, and looks down, still smiling. She glances over at Margot, who's still dancing with the grungy guy. Nicole smiles at her new friend, then suddenly some bother kicks off on the dance floor. The grungy guy headbutts a man and the fighting spreads like wildfire through the venue.
Hey, come on,
scrap. Nicole's new friend, David, puts a protective arm around her and escorts her across the dance floor. A guy topples one of the lighting rigs. As chaos reigns around them, Nicole and David hurry towards the exit. David yells to his grungy friend, Logan. Logan, who's still with Margot, looks round. David and Nicole make it to the stairs. David and Nicole hurry out onto a rooftop.
Are you all right?
Yeah. How are we going to get down?
I'll figure something out.
David sees a fire escape ladder leading down off the roof and goes over to check it out.
Come on.
He climbs down the ladder as Nicole runs over to it. She sees him on a rickety-looking landing below.
Be okay, safe, come on!
A police helicopter has appeared overhead. Some other people, including Margot and Logan, run out onto the roof. Margot waves and she and Logan run off. Nicole climbs down the ladder.
Ahead, just let go! It's safe, come on!
Nicole jumps down to David on the landing. He catches her and they head on down the fire escape. Later, they're in David's old Chevrolet Corvair convertible. They pull in off a road and park in a quiet spot overlooking the bay. The lights of the city twinkle in the distance. David steps out of the car.
Isn't this the car they stopped making because it, I don't know, blows up or something?
I guess that's why I got her. I saw her sitting there all alone, cold in the junkyard.
He lets Nicole out of the car.
No, it's not her fault they didn't put her together right.
You just said that like you really meant it.
I did.
Back at home, Laura is sitting up, working on her laptop. She checks the time. Nicole and David sit on a bench.
I stayed with my real mom in L.A. after my dad moved up here. I was 9 years old. It was just the two of us, all alone in this big house. And she was so sad most of the time, and I kind of felt like I was the one taking care of her.
It must have been tough.
Nicole looks thoughtfully at David.
Yeah.
What about your dad? You get along with him, okay?
I don't know. I mean, I only moved up here about a year ago. It's not like we even know each other that well.
Yeah.
How about you? Do you have parents? I mean, that you see and stuff.
Well, they're back east, but I talk to them all the time.
Are they still together?
They're weird, though. I mean, they're totally cool, totally together. It's just that they've never had a disagreement about anything more serious than whether it's going to be mashed to stovetop or tea or coffee. Kind of great.
Smiling, she eyes him.
What?
Nothing.
That was not nothing going on behind those beautiful eyes.
I was just thinking that, you know, you're not at all like what I expect you to be the first time I saw you.
How so?
I don't know. You're sweet.
He looks down.
But you're the one that's hiding something.
It's just that I was taught that if something seems too good to be true, and it probably isn't.
Yeah.
So far, what I know about you is you're beautiful. You're incredibly perceptive. I just need to know, like, one flaw so I can believe the rest.
Get a week.
I got all the time in the world.
She smiles, then checks her watch.
Oh. David, I gotta go. My curfew's at midnight.
He looks at her watch and winds the time back half an hour to 11:15.
All the time in the world.
She looks down a little uncertainly. David leans over and plants a gentle kiss on her cheek. Her mouth seeks out his and they sink into a lingering, passionate kiss. She gently pushes him away.
David. I'm sorry. I guess she found my flaw.
That's not a flaw. It's one more perfect thing for me to admire. And respect. And wait for.
Laura.
Well, the least you could have done was call, Nicole. I was sitting here for 2 hours imagining God knows what.
Laura, I can't help it if my watch broke. And I mean, how would I even notice unless I was staring at it every second?
Go to bed, Nicole. We'll deal with this tomorrow.
Laura?
I'm angry, Nicole. Just go to bed. Take off your makeup. You look like a slut.
Nicole gives her an outraged look. In the morning, Steve drives up to the security gate.
Mr. Walker.
Larry.
Steve's with Nicole.
So, 2 a.m. Am I missing something? Come on, Nikki, help me out. You were kidnapped by aliens. They tried to take you to their planet, but you escaped and hitchhiked back from Pluto.
She gives him an unamused look.
So who's this guy you were with?
Just a guy.
Is he a good guy?
He's good to his car. You'd appreciate that.
Well, that's a start. Maybe I should meet him.
Dad, I just met him. I don't even know if I'm going to see him again.
Oh.
So?
Right. All right. Here's the deal. Kitchen duty and yard work for 2 weeks. No exceptions. And no subcontracting out to Tobias. Is that fair?
Do I have a choice?
No.
I guess it's fair.
And I want you to apologize to Laura.
Yeah. I'll apologize to her when she apologizes to me for calling me a slut.
Steve's with Laura.
You were too easy on her. She should have been grounded.
She knows she screwed up.
It's all easy fixes with you, Steve. You give her whatever she wants, like you're forever trying to make it up to her.
Please, Laura.
It's gonna blow up in your face, Steve. Everybody needs rules. She'd respect you more if you laid it out and played it straight.
Straight, huh? Is that why you called her a slut?
I said she looked like a slut. She had about 2 gallons of makeup on, and that's exactly what she looked like.
Shitty choice of words, don't you think?
Maybe.
He gives her a look and goes back to cleaning his teeth. Nicole is leaving school at the end of the day with her friend Gary. She sees David parked up outside the school in his Corvair. Gary heads off and Nicole goes over to David. She gets in the car and David gives her a kiss. She looks over at some girlfriends who are watching her enviously. In a pool hall, David shows Nicole how to play. She smiles happily. David looks across the table at her and then follows her gaze. She's watching Margot and Logan snogging nearby. David and Nicole share a smile. Later, they stand in an alcove outside, snogging passionately themselves.
You know, every part of you tastes so good.
She smiles and they kiss again. Now they walk arm in arm up the street.
Nicole?
Yeah?
I want to meet your family.
Really?
Yeah, would that be okay?
Yeah.
They share a kiss.
Dad, meet David McCall.
Mr. Walker, pleasure to meet you, sir.
Same here, David.
Hey, Toby, right?
What's up, big guy?
This must be the savage beast, Kaiser.
That means he likes you.
Yeah? Tell him the feeling is mutual. You know you look bigger than your sister described? Maybe you just grew since yesterday. Which one?
So, David, you're not in school with Nicole, are you?
No, sir. But maybe you dub in the fall. I'm just kind of exploring my options, I guess.
Nicole, remember, you gotta help me plant these trees before you leave.
But I gotta get changed.
Well, you knew it was one of your chores.
Excuse me, it's Laura, right?
Hi, I'm David. I don't want to interfere or anything, but it so happens I work summers in the nursery. I'd be more than happy to give you a hand.
Can I help, too?
Couldn't do it without you, partner. Great, come on, grab the big one. See, the main thing is the moisture content of the soil when you first plant. Because these guys' roots are really sensitive for about 10 days or so.
Well, you certainly learned a lot during your summer, didn't you?
Steve sits in his home office working on his computer.
Is there some place I can get cleaned up?
I don't know. I think some hard-earned dirt under a man's fingernails can be attractive.
Well, maybe I shouldn't watch.
It's in there on your left.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Walker. I was looking for the bathroom.
It's right in there.
I'm not disturbing you, am I?
No, go ahead.
Thank you.
Did David come in here?
I'll be right out. Margo, come on in. Tell me about life.
Mr. Walker, I'm sure you know a lot more about life than I do.
I wouldn't be so sure. I get surprised at least once a day.
That's the fun part, though, isn't it, Mr. Walker?
Depends, David. Kind of cuts both ways. You just never know.
2 minutes.
Don't forget those trash bags after you go out. You're not getting out of that. All right!
Then you should come with us to the orbit, Mr. Walker. It'd be fun.
Nicole!
Yeah?
Get me a Coke.
Okay, I'll be right there.
Come on, Steve. You could play pinball. You could ride the bumper cars. You could do that thing where you throw the ball at something and maybe win me a stuffed animal. Or you could just walk around eating cotton candy, checking everybody out.
Hey, thank you. You almost ready?
Hmm?
I want to get there before dark. We still got to pick Logan up, so try to hurry, okay?
Okay, let me just grab my jacket.
Okay.
Here we go.
David. Nicole's curfew is 12 o'clock, not 5 after. All right?
All right.
Hello. Yeah, Eddie.
David turns the hands of a clock back.
Pleasure to meet you, Mr. Walker. Take care.
No, I'm finishing them up right now. I'm going to drop them off at FedEx myself.
Laura sees the trash bags haven't been put out.
I'm not going to miss it. It'll get there.
Nicole!
All right, Eddie, I'll see you.
Steve sees David and Nicole leaving.
Nicole!
Laura comes in with the trash.
You let her leave? Steven?
Why don't you get your helpmate to do it? What, Eddie?
Seattle's Space Needle rises up over the city. Nicole and David sit in the back of Margot's car and canoodle as they drive along. The sun goes down over the city. The Space Needle is bathed in its orange glow. That evening, neon lights glow at a fun fair. David and Nicole stand kissing beside a stall. David reaches down and puts his hand on Nicole's backside. She smiles up at him, and he rubs a finger over her lips. David hitches up her top a little and puts his hand around her waist. He whispers something in her ear, and she smiles. They board a roller coaster together and sit in the front carriage. David rests his hand on Nicole's thigh as the roller coaster sets off. They eye each other, and Nicole uncrosses her legs so that David can get his hand in between them. They smile at each other, and she presses his hand up between her legs. The roller coaster begins to climb steeply. Nicole closes her eyes as David works his hand between her legs. The roller coaster continues its slow ascent. David's fingers work rhythmically between Nicole's legs, slowly bringing her to a climax. As the roller coaster plunges over the far side of the slope, Nicole orgasms. She smiles blissfully, and David smiles over at her as they hurtle on around the roller coaster track. Nicole smiles over at David, who smiles back at her. In his home office, Steve is on the phone.
Eddie, I'm sealing the envelope. I'm out the door. What are you talking about? The last pickup's not until 7. I still got half an hour. What?
He's looking at the clock David reset.
Shit!
David and Nicole are at a crossbow shooting stall.
Best shot.
Nicole looks over at Margot and Logan snogging nearby. Logan points sinisterly at her.
We got a winner.
I'll take that peace pipe.
David hands the peace pipe to Nicole. Back at the house, Steve finds Laura potting up some plants.
I screwed up. I gotta go back up to Vancouver.
Bye-bye.
I want you to come with me. We could stay in that same hotel.
She smiles up at him.
Maybe even get that same suite.
The next day.
The number of the hotel is by the phone, so just rent some videos, call Domino's, and try not to kill each other.
I'll try and restrain myself.
I'll sick Kaiser on you.
Ooh, I'm shaking.
Try and have a nice time, Nick. Life is short. But remember, nobody in the house but you and Toby, all right?
I hear you, Dad.
Smile.
Nicole pulls an exaggerated smile. She phones David.
Hello?
David?
Nicole, how are you?
Good. Listen. David, my parents went out of town for a couple of days. And I'm all alone in my room.
Nicole?
Yes, David?
I promised some friends I'd help them out with something tonight.
Oh. Okay. Whatever.
But Nicole? I could come by afterwards. Would that be okay?
Sure. But if it gets too late, I might be in bed. Okay, so just punch 1432 into the keypad and just come on in. I'll be waiting.
David was in a car with Logan and a couple of dubious-looking mates. Later, he keys 1432 into the door and enters the house. Kaiser stands placidly by, watching him. David closes the door behind him and looks around. He examines a framed photo of Steve, Laura, Nicole, Toby and Kaiser, all standing smiling together. He smiles to himself and makes his way into Nicole's bedroom. She's curled up, asleep in bed. David walks quietly around the room and goes over to her dressing table. He opens a jewellery box and has a poke around in its contents. He finds a silver bracelet with the words Daddy's Girl engraved on it. He smiles and looks over at Nicole asleep in bed. He gently pulls back the covers, revealing Nicole in her bra and pants. She wakes and sees a shirtless David standing beside the bed.
Hey.
He smiles down at her, then sits on the side of the bed and gently kisses her shoulder. She allows him to undo her bra and take it off. He kisses her shoulder again, then slides her panties off. He leans over her, and their lips meet in a series of sensuous kisses. Nicole looks up at him.
David.
He kisses her gently on the lips, then eases himself into her. She closes her eyes and sighs.
Nicole. I love you.
Their lips meet again in a tender kiss. Nicole's face creases up and she runs her fingers through David's short brown hair as they make love. They kiss hungrily again. The screen fades to black. It's a sunny day as Nicole is coming out of school with Gary.
Please don't tell Margot. Not that it's a secret or anything, I don't know.
Are we talking the L word here?
I don't know. Whatever it is, I've definitely never felt it before.
Prince Charming must be late. Do you want me to wait?
No, that's all right. He'll be here.
David pulls up and sees Gary and Nicole sharing a hug. He immediately leaps out of the car and marches over to them. He thumps Gary in the back of the head, dropping him, then viciously kicks him.
David, what the hell are you doing? Stop!
He shoves Nicole over.
Stop!
As Gary lies gasping, David turns to Nicole.
What? Come on.
With an uncomprehending expression, David returns to his car. Back at home, Nicole stands in the shower, letting the warm water run over her. She looks at her reflection in the bathroom mirror and sees she has a pretty good black eye.
Thought of you when I saw this in the hotel gift shop.
Oh, Nicole, what happened?
I was in gym class. We were playing volleyball and I caught an elbow right in the eye.
Oh. Well, let's see what we can do.
They go downstairs and join Steve.
Hey there. Doesn't your daughter look exceptionally pretty today?
Uh-huh. Hey, yeah, you look lovely, Nick.
Thanks, Dad. I gotta go.
Can I get a kiss?
Wearing the pink cardigan Laura bought her, she gives Steve a kiss.
Bye, Dad.
Bye, Nick.
Thanks, Laura.
She hurries out.
What was that about?
Woman's stuff. She got a black eye in gym class, so I gave her a makeup lesson. So she wouldn't look like a slut.
She kisses Steve. In school, Nicole is with Gary.
Hey.
Had you Travis Bickle yet?
I don't think I ever want to see him again.
David comes into the school.
Are you okay?
See the look in his eye? Can't get it out of my head. Goddamn nightmares.
I'm sorry, Gary. I'm just so incredibly confused.
David watches them. Later, Nicole opens her locker and finds a note in it. Nicole, I can't begin to describe how sorry I am. Please meet me at Largo after school. I'll be waiting for you. Love, David.
Hey, yo, I'm murderous.
A brooding David sits alone at the counter in Largo. He looks over at the door, but there's no sign of Nicole. That evening, three dodgy-looking guys call round at the house David shares with Logan and his other mates.
We're here to see a man about a dog.
Does this look like a kennel?
We...
Woof, woof, woof.
The three guys are let in.
All right, wait in here. Don't be fooled, he's on red alert.
Nobby goes over to Logan.
They're interested in the dog. Go tell David we have to leave soon.
Nobby heads upstairs. David is lying on his bed in his room.
Hey, man. What the hell are you doing in here?
Not now, Nobby.
Logan says we gotta leave soon.
Tell Logan I'm not going.
Oh, yeah? Well, he's gonna be pissed, man. You've been bailing a lot.
You know, when his old man gets back into town, we're all going to be out on our ass. You better start thinking about that.
David gives Nobby a dangerous sideways look. Nobby holds his hands up and retreats out of the room. David looks at a series of photo booth pictures of him and Nicole on the wall. Next to them is a police mugshot of David. Laura takes a delivery of flowers.
Hey, Nicole. You got a fan?
Nicole gets up off the sofa and takes the flower box, which is wrapped with a red ribbon, from Laura.
Thanks.
Nicole takes the box outside. Laura and Toby exchange a look and Toby shrugs. Laura watches as Nicole puts the flowers in the bin. Laura gives Nicole a questioning look as she comes back in. Nicole looks as if she might explain, then thinks better of it. That night, as Steve and Laura lie in bed, they hear Nicole weeping.
Steve, let me go.
Laura gets out of bed. She joins Nicole in her room.
Are the flowers from him?
Yeah. It's just like him, you know? He's always so polite and considerate. He never has to show off the way other guys do. And all of a sudden he turns into a monster. I mean, Gary was down on the ground and David just kept on kicking him. And kicking him so hard.
Did he give you the black eye, too?
Steve's come in.
Did he?
Dad, I told you how I got the black eye.
Steve fixes her with an unflinching stare, and she turns away.
Stephen, why don't you let us finish up here? Toss me the Kleenex.
Steve accidentally knocks the box of tissues onto the floor. As he bends down to pick it up, he spots an empty condom packet under the bed. He picks it up.
Nicole, I want you to understand that whatever you think I may have done to disappoint you is no reason for you to go screw up your whole life.
What? Dad, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's what worries me.
Look, Dad, this may come as a big shock to you, but every move I make does not have to do with you. Turns out I'm living my own life.
Not yet you're not. As long as you're living in my house, you'll follow my rules. That means when you want to go out, I want to know where you're going and with who. And if I don't like it, you're not going.
Don't be ridiculous, Dad.
I'm not kidding, Nicole. This is going to stop.
What? Why don't you just say it? This is all about David.
There's something wrong with
him. But your problem with David, not
He's
mine.
He's not a good guy.
Look, Dad, David and I had a disagreement. Maybe we'll get past it. Maybe we won't. But no matter what happens, it'll be between us. It just doesn't have anything to do with you.
Steve stares at her. Then his eyes rove in thought. He puts the box of tissues down on the bed and walks out of the room. Nicole buries her face in her hands. Laura joins Steve back in their room.
What the hell was that about?
He holds up the empty condom packet.
Oh, boy.
He hit her too, Laura. I know he did.
Oh, come on. You heard what she said.
I don't care what anybody says. He hit her.
Fine. But don't think you can bully her into growing up, Stephen. It doesn't work that way.
Nicole slips out of the house and opens the bin. She takes out an envelope that came with the bunch of flowers. She opens it and finds a strip of the photo booth pictures of her and David together. The next day, Nicole is round at Margot's house. They sit on sun loungers by the pool.
So he hit you. Sometimes that's just their asshole way of showing they love you.
He didn't mean to hit me. It was an accident.
Fine. So then what's the problem? Nicole, do yourself a favor and don't think so much. It gives you premature wrinkles.
Dad hates him, that's for sure.
Well, that means that he knows you're sleeping together. You know, it's that usual weirdo jealousy trip.
How do you possibly know we were sleeping together?
Caught ya, you hoe. You never told me you were screwing him. You'll always remember your first. Not your second, not your third. Just your first.
Party! Oh, shit!
Logan, don't you dare! Logan and some of his friends have appeared. David is amongst them. Nicole looks over at him and then hurries away to her car. David runs over to it as she starts it up.
Nicole, just give me 1 minute.
He walks round to the driver's window and she kills the engine.
Listen, I know you don't want to see me again, but I still have to explain. There's nothing that I can say will make what I did all right. I know that, but I need you to know that it came from someplace good. It came from me feeling like I'd do anything to protect you.
From Gary?
I didn't know it was Gary. I swear, all I saw was some guy with his paws all over you. I mean, knowing how many bad guys are out there, guys that would take advantage of somebody like you. Guys that I would kill if they ever did anything to hurt you. I just lost it. But I want you to know that I'm very sorry about what happened to Gary. I am. But I can't be sorry that I love you. I learned from you, Nicole. I really did. I learned that I need people more than I thought. I've always been the one taking care of things. And with you, it's different. I want us to take care of each other. And I promise nothing like that will ever happen again.
He reaches out and strokes her shoulder. She looks up at him.
I'm sorry.
She looks down, then closes her eyes. Steve returns from work.
I'm home!
There's no one around. He tosses his briefcase on a sideboard.
Laura?
He looks outside and sees Nicole, Laura and Toby by and in the pool. David is with them. David tries to grab a magazine from Laura.
No.
He shoves Laura in the pool, then jumps in after her.
Hey there.
Isn't this Indian summer great?
What's going on?
Well, it's warm. We're taking advantage. You ought to jump in.
What's he doing here? What's he doing here, Laura?
Stephen, would you rather she lied and snuck off to see him?
Steve watches coldly as David climbs out of the pool.
You made the rules.
Laura goes inside. Steve emanates disapproval as he watches Nicole and David cuddle by the pool. David looks over at Steve and makes a point of planting several smoochy kisses on Nicole. Later, Steve is on the phone at work in town.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
He rings Laura.
Hello.
You remember that song and dance Nicole gave us about David growing up like Beaver Cleaver in some perfect little town back east?
Yes, something like that.
Well, guess again. The kid bounced from foster home to institution until he was finally kicked out on his ass at 18. Since then, no one knows. He's got no family, no address, no work record, nothing.
All right, so the guy's embarrassed about being an orphan. Not his fault, by the way. So he makes up a story about having a happy childhood to impress a girl. What's the big deal?
The big deal, Laura, is that the guy gives me the creeps, and the girl is my daughter.
He puts the phone down on her. Laura shakes her head. Later, Steve drives up outside Nicole's school in his red 1960s Mustang convertible. He pulls over at the side of the road and waits. He sees a blue sedan drive past. A few moments later, he spots David driving up in his Chevy Corvair. He watches as David parks outside the school. Steve drops the Mustang into gear and drives it over beside David's car.
Hello, David.
Hey, Mr. Walker.
You got a minute? I need to talk to you.
I'm meeting Nicole.
This won't take long.
All right.
Follow me around the corner.
Steve leads the way in the Mustang. David follows him. They both park up on a quiet residential street and get out of their cars. Steve walks over to David, who perches on the hood of the Corvair.
David, I don't want to beat around the bush. I came to tell you that you're going to stop seeing Nicole. Now, either you're as smart as you think you are and you'll just go away, or else you're going to make things a lot harder on yourself than they have to be.
You know, Steve, you're really not a faggot.
What?
No, I'm serious. You seem like a pretty solid guy. You should lighten up on yourself.
We're not talking about me. We're talking...
Yes, we are. So that's what this whole thing's about, Steve. Your inadequacies, your fears.
You just wait a minute.
Well, listen to me. See, I'm hip to your problems. All of them. I know you abandoned Nicole when she needed you most. Because I licked her sweet tears. I know about things coming apart at work. Maybe you fucking lost it in that department. I also know you ain't keeping up, so to speak, your end of the bargain with the missus. Because if you were, she wouldn't be all over my stick. But relax, Steve. We're friends. We're practically family.
I want you to understand something, pal. If you don't disappear from my family's life, I'm gonna rip your balls off and shove them so far up your ass, they'll come out your fucking mouth. You got that, my friend?
David jabs his finger against Steve's chest as he makes his point, then walks back to his car. As Steve drives away, David beats his left fist against his chest over and over again. Steve is with a lawyer, Alex McDowell.
Steve, what I'm saying is, even if he's got a record, and we can convince a judge, this thing could still backfire. You tell some kid that the state is restraining him, you just make him want it even more.
Well, we've got to try and do something. I'm not going to just sit around.
Look, let me ask you something as your friend. Are you sure you're not just, I don't know, fighting the inevitable here? We didn't expect she was going to stay a virgin, did you?
Alex, the guy is a psychopath.
Because he's hot for your daughter? Took a jealous swing at some guy? Talked trash to you?
Are you going to help me or not?
Yeah, of course. Look, I'll make a couple of calls for you, all right?
Nicole arrives home.
Where's my father? He's in his workroom.
She marches off and Laura hurries after her.
You know, Dad, I never expect you to be perfect, because I know I'm not. But I never thought you were a hypocrite until now.
Honey, calm down. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about you lecturing me about what David did to Gary and then turning around and acting a million times worse yourself.
Nicole, I don't know what he told you.
He didn't have to tell me anything, Dad. I saw the bruises.
What bruises?
You're gonna stand there and tell me that you never touched him. That you didn't hit him so hard in the chest that he's all sore and bruised?
Look, I may have...
Yeah, exactly, Dad. You may have. But I'll tell you what you definitely did. You lost my respect.
Nicole, come back here.
He hurries after her.
Nicole!
He steps outside and sees her getting into David's car.
Nicole!
David drives off. Steve turns to his Mustang, then realizes he hasn't got the keys on him.
Fuck!
Steve dashes back into the house. Watching, Laura looks worried. In the car, David looks over at Nicole and smiles warmly at her. He rests his hand on top of hers as they motor along a country road at dusk. Steve's on the phone.
She ran to the car, she got in, and she slammed the door in my face, if you really need to know. What? What are you talking about? She's only 16. So what if she wasn't kidnapped? I still have the right to... Huh? Fine, I'll call a lawyer.
Just you and me, Nicole. Nobody else.
Nobody else.
Me.
Nicole and David kiss in the car.
I want you, David.
Yeah.
They kiss hungrily.
David.
Yeah.
they regard each other, then kiss again. Later that evening, David drops Nicole back at the house.
Sure you won't change your mind and come home with me?
I can't. My dad would kill me.
Okay. I love you.
David drives off. Smiling happily, Nicole watches him go, then walks back towards the house. She looks over at the cars in the garage, then looks back after David. She takes Laura's Jeep and drives over to the house where David and his mates hang out. Some sort of party seems to be going on as several cars are parked outside. She gets out of the car and walks a little way towards the house. Looking a little apprehensive, she walks on around the side of the building. She looks in through an open window and sees a semi-naked Margot sitting astride Logan. He shoos Terry, one of his leering friends, away from them.
Hey, skinny-ass motherfucker.
Nicole watches uneasily as Margot grinds her crotch against Logan's. He lights a crack pipe. Then David steps up behind Margot and grabs her face.
Come on. Hey, fuck you. She's mine.
You want me?
David grabs Margot's hair.
Say it so he can hear you. Tell him. Tell him you want me.
I want him!
David grins triumphantly, then throws Margot over his shoulder and grabs a handful of her backside.
Yeah, fuck it. Keep that dirty little bitch. I don't want her.
Horrified, Nicole runs back to the Jeep and gets in it. She starts it up and rapidly reverses it back onto the road. She drives along a dark street in a state of shock. She wipes away tears as she drives. Arriving back home, she heads for her room, then stops and looks into Steve and Laura's room. Steve is asleep on the sofa with the phone clutched to his chest while Laura is flopped on the bed. Looking disappointed, Nicole walks back out of the room. The dawn breaks over Seattle. Steve wakes up on the sofa. He takes a moment to get his bearings and check the time. Then gets up. Laura wakes with a start.
What?
Steve finds a note stuck to the door. Dear Dad, I'm sorry if I caused you to worry. It's over. Love, Nicole. Steve goes on into Nicole's room and finds her lying in bed. He walks over to her.
Nick.
Please, Dad.
He sits down on the side of the bed.
I just want to be alone.
Steve regards her thoughtfully, then nods.
Okay.
He gets up and walks back towards the door. He looks back at her.
The pain will go away, honey. I promise.
He stops in the doorway and looks back at her once more, then steps out of the room. Laura is waiting for him on the landing.
Is she okay?
I hope so.
Later, a distracted Nicole is in the dining hall at school. Gary joins her.
I got you some anyway. I thought food might zap you out of your zombie trip.
Thanks. I'm just not hungry.
Well, let me guess. You're preparing a junk food defense before you team up with your boyfriend and go on a killing spree.
No, definitely not.
Joke. Joke, Nicole. As in ha-ha. Remember? Jesus, Kami in Singapore.
Smart on bio?
She called since you were sick.
Maybe she's honest.
What?
David.
Speak of the devil.
Guess who?
Don't touch me.
Nicole, where are you going?
Get away from me! Somebody help me!
What's the matter with you? Come here.
Hey. Just stay away from me!
No, why?
You heard her, David. Just let it go.
David stares at Gary.
All right? Okay?
David releases her.
All right. Okay.
Gary eyes David edgily, then goes after Nicole. Watched by everyone, David makes his way out of the dining hall in the opposite direction. Later, Laura lets Margot into the house. Nicole's playing a video game with Toby.
Why won't you take my calls?
As you can see, I'm playing with my little brother.
Okay. You don't have to be so snotty about it. Hey there, handsome.
When are you gonna grow up so I could ravage you? Margot, why don't you leave Toby alone?
Jesus. What's your problem?
Nicole gets up and marches out of the house. Margot ruffles Toby's hair, then goes after her. Standing by the lake with her arms folded, Nicole regards Margot frostily.
What? The fact that you can stand there and act cool and fine as if nothing ever happened. That's what scares me the most about you, Margot. It's like I don't know you, or maybe I don't know anybody for that matter. Everybody says one thing and then does another, and I just...
Nicole, I'm sorry. I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Suddenly looking rattled, Margot takes a step back.
Who told you? Did David tell you?
Forget it. It doesn't matter. You're not a friend of mine, and I don't think you were.
Okay? He forced me. He made me do it. Nicole, please don't do this. Please don't do this. I need you. You're my only friend!
Nicole marched back into the house and shut the door on her. Hearing Margot's car driving away, Nicole steps back out of the house and gazes after it with a troubled expression. Steve watches her on a security monitor from his workroom. As Margot drives along, someone hoots at her. She looks in her rearview mirror and sees David's Corvair closing in fast. He flashes his lights at her. He pulls alongside her, and she puts her foot down, pulling away from him. He downshifts and drives up alongside her.
Hey, come on, I gotta talk!
Margot gives him the finger, and she speeds away from him. Seeing another car coming, David pulls in behind her again. With the road clear, David puts his foot down and forces the Corvair up alongside Margot's blue Volkswagen. The road is narrow and there's almost no room to pass. They take a blind corner side by side. Margot looks up ahead and sees another car coming. She points it out to David. He stays put on the wrong side of the road. At the last moment, Margot swerves off up a side road and David follows her, avoiding a collision by millimetres. They both pull over and David gets out of his car.
What the fuck do you think you're doing?
Please leave me alone.
Huh? What did you say to Nicole?
Nothing.
You fucking lying fucking whore. Get the fuck out of the car. You lying fucking whore.
He grabs her throat.
What did you say to her? What the fuck did you say to her?
Nothing. I swear, David, I didn't tell her. I don't know how she knows.
But she knows. Let me tell you something. You better fix it. You better make it right. Because if you don't, I'm gonna hurt you. Don't cry. I fucking like it.
David gets back in his car and drives off. Margot gets in hers and thumps the steering wheel. That evening, Steve opens his door and finds David on the step.
Mr. Walker, sir, I believe I owe you, Nicole, and your entire family an apology. Well, I was just wondering if you'd be so kind as to let me come in for a minute and explain a few things. I think you might understand.
I'm not interested in understanding you, David. I'm only interested in keeping you away from Nicole. And I'll do whatever it takes to accomplish that. Okay? Whatever it takes.
Steve shuts the door in his face. In the kitchen, Nicole and Laura watch on the security monitor as David walks away from the house.
Thanks, Dad.
Hello?
Oh, hey, Eddie. Just hold on one second.
Yeah, Eddie. I'm gonna work all night. Please, don't panic.
Back in his room, David is in the process of giving himself a DIY tattoo. He finishes off needling some letters into his chest with a dart, then picks up a biro and bites the end of the ink reservoir off. He blows the ink out onto his hand, then rubs it all over the freshly cut words on his chest. He rinses the excess ink off with the showerhead, then dries himself with a towel. The crude tattoo reads Nicole forever. In the morning, Steve drives Nicole to school in the Mustang. They pull up outside.
I talked to the school. Security knows about everything,
don't
so...
Don't worry, Dad. It's over, okay? I'll be
right. Bye.
Steve looks around warily as he drives away. Gary spots Nicole.
Hi.
Everything copacetic?
Yeah. You know, I never thanked you for the other day.
This way.
She gives him a hug. David is watching them from a short distance away. Steve shows Eddie an architectural design on his computer.
Yes. You did it. This is great. This is a work of art. You think you can stay conscious long enough to crunch out the new numbers?
I've been living on pure adrenaline for 24 hours. Why stop now?
You sure you don't want to come to the mall with us?
No, I gotta finish that story for the paper. The Washington Post is gonna need to see something before they make me editor. Hey, Laura.
Hey, Gary. To the back.
Hey, Toby Bear.
Hi, Gary. Okay. I'll see you later.
Having seen Nicole to her car, Gary walks off down the street with his school bag slung over his shoulder. As he turns a corner past a high hedge, David appears behind him and watches him. Gary makes his way across a park and walks into a wooded area. David runs up behind him.
Hey, Gary.
David.
Gary, did you know I grew up in a lot of different places?
No, actually, Nicole told me that you...
Oh, yeah. Bridgewater, Spofford, Rikers, you name it. You know what they all have in common, Gary?
No.
Weak walls. Actually, that's why they move me around so much. I pound on a wall, it'd break, then move me to the next one. And the next one, till finally got sick of building walls and just showed me the door. Pretty useful upbringing it turned out, though, yeah. I mean, there's always walls. Usually moist, fleshy kind. They try to get in the way of me and it. Whatever it may be. Silly, silly people, though. They're willing to be knocked down! Gary!
Having been shoved over by David, Gary jumps up and sprints off through the trees. David gives chase. He rapidly closes in on Gary and sends him flying. Gary lands heavily and David quickly grabs him and twists his neck, snapping it. Toby, Laura, and Nicole are in a mall. Steve's boss, Peterman.
We ready?
We're ready.
I appreciate your efforts. I know how hard the push has been on yourselves and your families. Today is just another dog and pony show. I'll kick it off, and then you're up, Steve. Let's sell these guys.
Later.
How many tickets we got for the Hawks?
We got the four. Peterman kept the rest.
Figures.
Steve and Eddie find Steve's car has been vandalized.
Holy shit.
A note has been left on it.
Jesus, Steve.
Steve reads the note. Now I've popped both your cherries.
What does it say?
Eddie, I need for you to give me the keys to your car and for you to catch a ride with Harvey.
Steve, we gotta...
Please!
Okay.
Eddie hands his keys over to Steve. In the mall, David watches Laura, Nicole, and Toby from a distance. They're sitting at a table having some drinks. David watches stony-faced as Nicole gets up and makes her way to the ladies. Steve tries calling home as he drives in Eddie's car.
Hello, Laura? Nicole? Come on, somebody pick up. Shit.
He dials another number.
Hello, Margot. This is Mr. Walker. Is Nicole with you? Do you know where David McCall lives?
David makes his way purposefully through the mall, heading towards the ladies' loo. In the car, Steve has come to a grinding halt in the middle of a fierce traffic jam. David makes his way into the ladies and walks beside a line of cubicles. One of the cubicle doors opens and he confronts Nicole.
Thing you have that can hear the real me. It's not here. It's not what I say. It's not here. It's not the way you see me acting. It's here. That's where it is, Nicole. You know it. I know it. Your daddy knows it. Everybody knows it. That's why they're trying to keep us apart. They're just jealous. We have something that everybody wants, but nobody has. You can't let them take that away from us, Nicole. It belongs to me and you. Okay? I love you. I love you.
He walks out of the toilets.
Help! Somebody help me.
Steve smashes a window at the house David and his mates are staying at, then reaches in and opens the front door. He looks around and picks up a pool cue. Satisfied the place is empty, he tosses the cue down and goes upstairs. He looks in a bedroom, then notices a room with a padlock on the door. He boots it open and finds it's David's room. On the wall is a picture of the Madonna, but her face has been replaced with Nicole's. Steve picks up a box with a photo of David and Nicole on it. It's locked, so he breaks it open. Inside, he finds the picture of his family, only his face has now been replaced by David's. Along with it, he discovers some of Nicole's underwear. He finds the Daddy's Girl bracelet, only it's now been altered to read David's Girl. In a rage, Steve rips down the Nicole Madonna poster and sweeps all the knickknacks off the shelf. David, Logan, Nobby, and two other men, Hacker and Terry, are riding in a car together. They pull up outside their house and see the front door is wide open. Stepping inside, they find Steve has done a fairly comprehensive job of vandalizing their stuff. Terry stares at a broken TV. Nobby finds his drum kit has been smashed to bits. Logan's pool table and cues lie broken. Upstairs, David finds his room in disarray. All his posters are ripped and his stuff lies on the floor. He picks up the box that contained his Nicole trophies.
Come on, now somebody knows who did this. Now who is it?
I know who did it.
You will fucking kill whoever did this.
Yeah, who?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's pay the dude a fucking visit then.
All right.
That night at their lakeside house, Laura comes into Nicole's room. She gives her a drink.
Thanks. I can't get over the feeling that I let you down, Nick. I should have seen it coming. I'm sorry.
It's not your fault, Laura. But thanks anyway.
I mean that on top of the fact that he assaulted her in a public bathroom, and you're telling me that that's not enough to haul him in? Who gives a shit about warrants? They're running their own cartel, and you can't do a goddamn thing about it? Look, I'm not worried about tonight, but what about tomorrow and the next day? I mean, she can't stay here like she's a prisoner.
David, Logan, Terry, Hacker, and Nobby cruise along a quiet road in the dark. Logan is driving.
Pull in over there. We'll cut through the woods.
Terry takes a pull on a crack pipe as they drive onto a dirt track and park up behind some trees.
An eye for an eye. Tooth for fucking tooth.
Just remember, we're calling part of this game.
The guys get out of the car. Laura is cooking. The doorbell makes her jump. She goes to the door and looks through the spy hole. She opens the door to a tearful-looking Margot.
Oh, Margot. Oh, what's wrong?
Steve and Nicole appear. Margot looks up miserably at Nicole, who's standing up on the landing.
Gary's dead. They found his body in the woods. By school. Beaten to death.
Outside.
Kaiser. Come here, boy. Come here, Kaiser. Come here, boy. Come here, boy. Good boy.
Okay, fine. You're right. It's not an emergency. Could I please talk to the people that try and solve murders? Jesus.
Come on. That's a good boy.
Kaiser's severed head has just been pushed through the dog flap.
Come here, Tony.
Yeah.
Come here.
My name is Stephen. Hello. The phone is dead.
You next, man.
No. You don't know what's out there. Here. Security will come.
Laura presses the alarm.
No siren.
We'll still get the signal. Larry will come.
No, it's disconnected. The system works through the phone lines.
It doesn't matter. No one is getting in here, Stephen. You designed it, remember? Reinforced doors, no entry without the code.
Dad, David's got the code.
As David keys the entry code into the front door, Steve runs over to it. He's just in time and manually locks the door before David can get it open.
It all could have been different, Mr. Walker. You should have allowed nature to take its course. In the end, it will anyway.
So let me the fucking house!
Steve looks round at Nicole and the others, who all look terrified. Nobby throws rocks against the reinforced window.
Nicole! Take Margo and Toby up to your room and stay there. Laura, get the flashlight, then turn off every light in the house.
Nicole sees Logan looking down through a skylight. He gyrates his crotch and points at her.
Go, Nicole, and lock your door!
Nicole goes upstairs with Toby and Margot. David walks by outside. Steve, who's now armed with a poker, and Laura hurry around turning off all the lights. The house goes dark.
Turn the flashlight off. I don't want to know where anybody is. No one's going to hurt our family, honey. No one.
In a bedroom, Nicole sits with Toby on the bed as Margot paces fearfully. Laura and Steve look around warily as it all goes quiet. Steve goes to investigate the noise. Nobby breaks through a window with a drill. Steve whacks the drill from his hands with the poker, and Nobby withdraws. The back door is buckling. Steve looks outside and sees Logan ramming it with a log.
An eye for an eye, eh, Mr. Walker, sir? You fuck up my house, I'll fuck up yours!
Steven.
Laura looks incredulously at Steve.
Come on, the refrigerator.
Steve and Laura start moving the fridge to block the doorway.
They're gonna kill us. Just like they can get us.
As Nicole comforts hysterical Margot, Toby sees someone outside the window.
Nicole?
Get out of the way!
Nicole shoves Terry off a drainpipe with an umbrella.
Go check the kids. Go on.
Nicole? Are you all right? You're okay! Steve!
Laura sees someone is trying to break through the front door with an axe. She begins moving furniture to barricade the door. Steve is barricading the back door. Nicole looks out of the window towards Larry's security hut in the distance. She has an idea. Sitting in his hut, Larry watches the TV. He gets up and switches it off, then picks up a packet of cigarettes and shakes out a smoke. As he taps it down, he looks over at the Walker house and notices it's in darkness, except for a light upstairs, which is going on and off. Larry tries ringing the house.
We're sorry, you have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
Larry picks up his gun belt and heads off. Hacker has managed to chop a hole in the front door. He reaches his hand inside. Steve runs over to the kitchen table and upends it. He puts it against a window to hinder the attackers. Laura picks up the drill that Nobby dropped and drills a hole through Hacker's hand as he reaches inside to unlock the front door.
Car coming, Logan.
It's Larry.
It's gonna be all right.
Stay here.
Be careful, Stephen.
Outside, David watches as Larry's Jeep comes up the drive towards the house. David approaches the Jeep in a relaxed, easygoing manner, and Larry pulls up.
Hands on the air, son.
Sir, is there something wrong?
Hands on the hood, real slow.
Sir, I think there's some confusion. I just came back from visiting my girlfriend.
Is that right?
Logan tries to jump Larry.
Stay where you are! Larry!
Mr. Walker, you okay?
We're all right. We're safe.
You know these jokers? Were there any more of them?
I think the others ran away.
Steve slugs Logan, then David.
Terry has shot Larry. David nods at Terry. Steve makes to run, but Logan punches him, then kicks him on the ground.
There's plenty of time. We're going to take this inside. Get the cuffs and the guns.
Nicole watches from the bedroom window as the gang march Steve back towards the house. Laura sees the situation on the security monitor. David stops and looks up at Nicole. Terry holds a gun to Steve's head as they approach the front door.
Laura, stay back! Don't open the door!
What? Steven, what's going on?
Mrs. Walker, ma'am, we'd like you to see the situation from a different point of view.
Oh, God!
Laura, no!
Yo, lady of the house, we're coming in. You just gotta decide whether he's coming with us. And fast. Say bye-bye.
Logan holds another gun to Steve's head. David looks through the hole in the door.
Laura.
She stares at him, and he nods reassuringly. Laura's shoulders sag, and she approaches the front door.
Laura, no!
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Terry, go out there and keep a watch.
Nicole sees Terry from her window.
If I could get to Laura's car phone. I can fit through my bathroom window.
Toby steps out of the bedroom and crosses the landing. He goes over to the bathroom and disappears inside. Downstairs, David and Logan march handcuff Steve into the house.
Oh, cuff her.
David throws Steve on the sofa while Logan handcuffs Laura.
Steve!
Logan, go find some tape.
Outside, Terry looks weary as he keeps watch. He doesn't see Toby climbing down off the roof behind him, but he does hear him. He goes to investigate. Logan skips back through the house with some duct tape.
I think I'll go check out the rest of the house.
If you touch any of those kids!
Calm down, Mr. Walker. Everything's under control.
David ties Steve's legs with electrical flex. Toby gets into Laura's Jeep and tries the car phone. It's dead. Logan bursts into the bedroom and bears down on Nicole.
Stay away from me. Stay away from me!
Margot runs at Logan.
Get it, bitch!
Get it!
He quickly overpowers her and drags her out onto the landing.
Stop!
Now get off me!
Stop hitting her, you mother!
David gags Laura. Toby starts up the car just as Terry opens the garage door. Terry shoots through the Jeep's back window and Toby slumps down over the wheel. The shots miss Toby and Terry's out of bullets. Toby drops the Jeep into reverse, then stamps on the gas. The car knocks Terry over and then crushes him. Toby stops the car and looks over at motionless Terry. He dials 911 on the car phone, which is now working.
Come on, Mr. Walker. Time to give away the bride.
David picks Steve up in a fireman's lift and carries him upstairs. As Laura sits numbly, Toby comes in through the front door and sees her. She quickly shows him she's handcuffed. Toby runs back outside and goes over to Larry's body to retrieve the handcuff keys. David carries Steve into the bedroom and finds Logan attacking Nicole. He drops Steve, grabs Logan, and shoots him in the head.
It's time to go, Nicole. First, I want you to do the right thing and say bye to Daddy.
He gives her a kiss, then points his gun at Steve's head.
No!
What? You want to go with me, don't you?
Nicole regards him desperately.
Yes. Well, all right then. Come over here and give your father a kiss goodbye. It's not easy to give away your daughter.
Damon! Don't! Please.
Nicole. I know this is hard. I'm sorry it has to be like this. But it does. It's not our fault. It's his. I tried so hard to be nice. To get him to accept me. Can't you see all he wants is for you to be his little girl forever? You don't want that, do you?
She shakes her head. Now free, Laura crawls over to Margot, then unlocks Steve's handcuffs. Steve jumps up and David pistol whips him to the floor.
Daddy? You will forever hold your peace.
Nicole stabs the peace pipe David won at the fair into his back. He puffs at his cheeks as she pulls it back out. He slowly gets to his feet and walks towards her. Steve jumps up and tackles him. He pushes David back against the wall and bangs his hand against it until he drops the gun. David gets his hands round Steve's neck, then tackles him and slams him hard into the opposite wall. David then pulls a chest of drawers down on top of Steve. As David approaches Nicole, Steve springs back up and grabs David from behind. He throws him against the wall. David comes at him again, and they grapple. Steve manages to fling David through a window, and he falls and splats onto a rock beside the lake. Nicole stares in amazement at her father, who turns and looks round at her. Out on the landing, Laura and the others hear the fight is over. Nicole gets up and goes over to Steve. He sweeps her up in his arms, and they hold each other tight. Laura, Margot, and Toby step into the bedroom and see Steve and Nicole are okay. Relieved, they go over to them, and they all hug. The next morning, the police and an ambulance are on the scene. Audio description written and recorded by John Walskill for Iuno Media Group. First Assistant Director David Householder. Unit Production Manager Colleen Neistat. Second Assistant Directors Bonnie Benwick, Kim Winther. Associate Producer Karen Snow. Cast David McCall, Mark Wahlberg. Nicole Walker, Reese Witherspoon, Steve Walker, William Peterson, Laura Walker, Amy Brenneman. Margot Massey, Alyssa Milano. Toby, Christopher Gray. Logan, Tracy Frame. Hacker, Gary John Riley. Terry, Jason Christopher. Nobby, Jed Reese. Gary Roma, Todd Caldecott, Eddie Clark, John Oliver. Larry O'Brien, David Fredericks, Counterman, Ravinder Tour. Alex McDowell, Andrew Airlie, Julie Massey, Joe Bates. Kid at Door, Will Sengotta. Peterman, L. Harvey Gold. David Standin, D. Neil Mark. Nicole Standin, Bev Hendry. Steve Standin, D. Richard Lewis. Kaiser, Banner. Crew, Art Director, Richard Hudlin. Assistant Art Director, Bridget McGuire. Set Designers, Ivana Vasak, Bjorn Ulner. Set Decorator, D. Fouquet-Lemaitre. assistant set decorator James Burridge, set decoration buyer Elizabeth Patrick, set dressers Paul Jenkinson, John Kennedy, Donna Horn, Susan Cossola, Tom Allen. First assistant editor Julie Munro, second assistant editor LA Devon Miller, second assistant editor Canada Jack Hilton, supervising sound editor Hal Gibbons. Sound editors Hugo Wang, John Kwiatkowski, Rick Freeman, Julia Evershade. ADR editor Joe Dawn, Foley editor Julie Finer, assistant sound editors Chris Ingram, Patty Galvin. Re-recording mixers Chris Jenkins, Mark Smith, Adam Jenkins. Jessica, written by Dickie Betts, performed by the Allman Brothers Band, courtesy of Polydor Records, by arrangement with Polygram Special Markets, Unichapel Music Inc., and FR Betts Music Co., all rights administered by Unichapel Music Inc. Wild Horses, written by Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, performed by The Sundays, courtesy of DGC Records, Abco Music Inc. Copyright 1996 Universal City Studios, Inc., all rights reserved. Country of first publication, United States of America. Universal City Studios, Inc. is the author of this motion picture for purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto. No animal was harmed in the making of this film. The characters and events depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. An Imagine Entertainment presentation.